She's an associate professor and director of research in the Department of Family Medicine, UIC College of Medicine, with adjunct appointments also in the Department of Medical Education, College of Nursing, and School of Public Health at the same school. Her teaching and research focus on development and evaluation of interventions that promote leadership scholarship and ensure that future healthcare providers can effectively address quality and health disparities issues.
Good morning, everybody. I'm just so privileged to be part of this session and already have ideas learning from my predecessors. So I'm going to be talking about our program that is focused at the intersection of medical education and public health. And I do not have slides, but I have no disclosures to make. And the learning objectives for this session are primarily for us to explore and discuss the intersection of medical education and public health with a focus on, you know, using our program as a model, and to analyze the content and process of what we are doing as probably, you know, something that participants can apply in their settings. So, you know, this is a group of public health educators, workers, action-oriented people. So I guess I will be preaching to the choir if I speak about the background and rationale for why there needs to be an integration of medical education and public health training. We know that we live in the richest country, or one of the richest countries in the world, and yet we are very poor. We are very poor in the quality of care that our patients receive, and overall in terms of preventive and health promotion efforts, we lag behind, not just behind developing countries, but many developed countries. So it gives us pause to, you know, stop and think and reflect on what we could do differently. And so this was sort of the premise of the work that I've had the privilege of being involved at the University of Illinois Chicago. The other part of this, which is very important, is that United States is not a country that is homogenous. It's a very heterogeneous country, and you know, you talked about cultural competency that we have all been hearing a lot in the last two decades. But how do we integrate the training of these concepts in medical education and public health? So that's the background of this work. All of you are also familiar with the Institute of Medicine's Quality Chasm Report. And so one of the drivers for this work was also looking at what kind of care should be provided to patients, and more importantly, what are the aspects of care that our future healthcare professionals should be involved in. So patient-centeredness of care is a key element that I am personally very invested in developing and in implementing. There have been numerous calls to reform the healthcare systems and health professions education, and there has been an increasing call for the need of the integration that I mentioned. So I just briefly want to mention the Hosea Mercy Foundation Junior's report from 2009, which advocates for the need for acceleration in the pace of change in order to prepare future physicians to meet the public's increasingly demanding needs and expectations. And the fact that medical educators need to ensure that physicians have more background in population health and the role social factors play in affecting health change, and more frequent use of community-based settings as learning environments and less frequent use of hospital settings. So that's the premise of the work that we've been doing. And fortunately, that report actually came afterwards. We started this work way back in 2005 with a very, very small service learning program that was conceptualized for second-year medical students at the University of Illinois Chicago. We got a $10,000 small funding from the American Medical Student Association to develop the program. And there's a definition of service learning that's on the screen, which says that it's a teaching and learning strategy that integrates meaningful community service with instruction and reflection to enrich the learning experience and teach community responsibility and strengthen communities. And one of the foundations of the theory and concepts behind service learning is that it is a collaborative partnership between an academic institution and the community. So the goals and the learning and whatever, you know, outcomes that have to come out of this partnership have to be mutually beneficial to both the partners. And we started with a very traditional service learning model where we took, medical students, put them into the community, and with our community partners, which started off with a large number, I mean, I shouldn't say large, but significantly more than what we have right now. We didn't have a defined area of which, you know, health disparities or which specific disease conditions or which specific vulnerable populations the student should be working in. But we just identified an array of community agencies, gave the students a choice to work with who they wanted to work with, and then with a very traditional model, decide on what's the focus for the community agency, what's their need, and design a project around that. That's where we started, and then we sort of expanded that initial focus into a longitudinal program in patient-centered medicine. And that service learning program is still a very important piece of the program. So I will be talking a little bit about the broader program, but with a focus on the service learning piece of this effort. So the program in patient-centered medicine at UIC was funded by HRSA in 2007 and now is an established program in the college. The purpose of this program is to enable medical students to acquire the attitudes, values, and competencies necessary to practice patient-centered medicine. And we consider cultural competency to come under the umbrella of patient-centered medicine. And the large goals or aims of this program are to promote continuity of care in clinical practice, to heighten students' personal commitment to service, to social justice, and to civic responsibility, to broaden students' perspectives about physicians' role in reducing health disparities, and to develop competencies for working in interprofessional teams, and finally to foster critically reflective physicians. And this process is not iterative, as this diagram depicts. So this is what the program, the broader program, looks like. There are components from the first to the fourth year. And the central underpinning of the program rests on the fact that you cannot develop a trusting relationship with your patient if you just see them episodically or see one patient at a time and never see them again. So right from the beginning, from the first year when students come into the program, we take a select group of students by application, about anywhere from 25 to 35 students, and we place them in longitudinal relationships where they work with physicians. Under the guidance of physicians, they are paired with patients that they follow over time. So they have continuity patients that they work with starting from the first year. And the second year piece is that service learning program that I first mentioned. And the way we sort of married the concepts of patient-centered medicine and service learning happened as we worked on a model where students work with five focus areas: domestic violence, homelessness, geriatrics, immigrant and refugee health, and HIV/AIDS. So we have medical students who work with community agencies serving those populations, and within those concentration areas, they work with patients or clients. I mean, we don't like to call them patients, and they develop a continuity relationship with at least one or two persons from that vulnerable population. So the program is improving the health of individuals and communities through community-engaged action and scholarship, and the main goal of acquiring the attitudes, values, and competencies necessary to provide patient-centered medicine now focuses on underserved clients from these five focus areas. How does the program work? I'm going to go fast because we are short on time. Students select to opt into the program, and they pick one of the five options, and we try to match their preferences. Each of the concentrations is led by a family physician or another physician from another discipline, and they are put into the community agency partnership where they, throughout the year, their second year, they're working in knowledge and application of policy and programmatic approaches to addressing healthcare access and other issues for underserved patients, reflection, synthesis, and sharing of their work. And then since 2009, we also included M4s, who are co-tutors, but they are also working on a capstone project. The main basis of the community-based immersion work is that the students adopt at least one patient in need of medical care. They conduct health needs assessments, mutually decide on priorities, and develop a collaborative management plan. And they assist patients in identifying, accessing, and utilizing clinical care and other services. They maintain ongoing relationship with the patients, and then interspersed within the program, there are seminars and written reflections, team projects, papers, and presentations. And so this is the piece where we build in the public health competencies, where the teaching and training throughout the year is a combination of knowledge about public health and clinical medicine, and most of our speakers at the seminars are renowned people. For example, the director of the Chicago Department of Public Health, he's going to come and talk to our students at the next seminar. And we have a panel upcoming on 14th November where we will have leaders in public health and medicine talking about the Affordable Care Act, the changes in health policy and the reform, and how does it impact care for vulnerable populations. All right, so I have 2 minutes left, so I'm going to zip through the rest of this. These are some sample projects that the students have been working on. Okay, I'll let you read that. This is just a picture of our students from the last batch. And so how do we know that this works? We can say that it's a great program, but we say that because we have evaluation data from the students, from our community partners, and most importantly, you know, these medical students are going to go out into practice in the future. What are they going to be doing? So this is just a couple comments from the students, and I want to get to the next one. This program has enriched my appreciation for the patient's background, lifestyle, and living conditions, and the way all of these factors impact his or her ability to take care of their health, and I also received an introduction to the way that doctors think. I will take care of both these important things with me into practice. And I think that's the nexus of what, you know, we've been trying to do. We talk about social determinants, and this is the real life, you know, interpretation of that. So more outcomes, you know, impacts. We are tracking students. There's an outcomes evaluation that's been administered. We will be sharing that hopefully at the next conference. And then this is an indirect faculty development tool where faculty take ownership of a piece of the curriculum and develop it. This just shows the number of students in the program. And I brought a couple copies of the reflections that students write that we publish in the form of this booklet, PCM Voices. You're welcome to take this copy if you want, and it's also available online. And I guess we are almost out of time, so I will just end by saying that this program is the work of many, many people, and I acknowledge their help and support and feel very privileged to do this work. Thank you.